When a baby cries during Srimad Bhagavatam class, everyone thinks that baby is a total disturbance. But the mother's thinking, oh, my child, how nice is my child? At least that's what she's supposed to be thinking. Because of increased affection. Yasoda Mai, Nanda Maharaj, what was their affection to Krishna? Putana. Krishna was a little baby, hardly a few days old. And this big Rakshashi, miles and miles in size, she came to kill Krishna. And Krishna was laying on her body. What was it, 8 miles? 8 miles. Her breast was like a mountain. It's like in a Hovalam, we're going to have to climb a mountain. But that was nothing compared to Putana's breast. And some of you ladies are thinking, oh, how will I climb this mountain? But Krishna was a little infant and he was way up on top. And the gopis had to run all the way up there to somehow or other get him down. But they couldn't believe that Krishna killed her. They were thinking that due to our pious activities, that the Supreme Lord must be protecting our Krishna. And then Mother Yashoda, she started doing all these traditional rituals just for Krishna's protection. She started putting cow dung on him and cow urine on him. And she took a cow tail and started chanting different mantras on different parts of his body. And she asked Brahmins to come and chant other Vedic mantras. And she started putting all little bracelets and everything for his protection. Increased affection. Her whole life and soul. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, 1 minute going by without seeing Krishna, they were worried that he might get in trouble. When Mother Yashoda was performing her household activities, she was thinking, a bird might scratch Krishna. A frog might jump on Krishna. An insect might bite Krishna. A monkey might hurt Krishna. A pebble on the ground might scratch Krishna. She was constantly thinking of Krishna with such affection. Tears were always in her eyes. This is motherly love. But Srila Ramananda Rai explains that Vatsalya Ras lacks complete freedom. If we add complete freedom to Vatsalya Ras, then we enter into the realm of Madhurya Rasa, conjugal love. And Srila Ramananda Rai explains that this is the gopis. This is the level of their consciousness. They have that complete freedom. Each rasa contains all the elements of the preliminary rasa. The example given by Srila Ramananda Rai is the five elements of this material creation. Each progressive element contains all the qualities of the preceding elements. The first element is sky. Sky contains the power to hold sound. The next element is air. Air contains sound and touch. The next element is fire. Fire contains sound, touch, and form. The next element is water. Water contains sound, touch, form, and taste. And the ultimate element from this comparative evaluation is earth. Earth contains sound, everyone, touch, form,
safe,
and
smell.
So in the same way, conjugal ras contains in
full all the qualities of all the previous rasas.
Yeya tamam prapadyante tamstathaiva bhavan pajanya mama bhartmanu bhartante manushya paratasa.
As you surrender unto me, Krishna says, I will reward you accordingly. According to how we approach Krishna, Krishna reveals himself accordingly to us in one of these particular loving relationships.
Ramananda Rai again explains how we should know that each of these rasas is perfect, situated in pure, spontaneous love of God. But there is perfect, more perfect, most perfect, and the most perfect.
But everyone is completely satisfied. That is the spiritual world.
So Krishna explained to the gopis that because of the nature of your love for me, you have renounced all your family. You have renounced all your social, cultural rules and regulations. You have renounced your reputation, the safety of your homes. You've renounced everything just to give me pleasure. Therefore, I am so much indebted to you. I cannot pay this debt to you even in thousands and thousands of lifetimes. My request is that you be satisfied with your own honorable deeds.
Ramananda Rai explained that Krishna is all attractive. He is the reservoir of all beauty.
But Krishna reveals his opulences according to the devotees that he's with.
When Krishna's with gopis, his beauty increases unlimitedly.
And when the gopis see Krishna's beauty increasing unlimitedly, their love for him increases unlimitedly. And after it increases unlimitedly, then Krishna has to unlimitedly more increase his beauty. And they increase unlimitedly more their love, and he increases unlimitedly more his beauty. Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki.
In this material world, what is beauty? What is the beauty that intoxicates our mind? Does it increase unlimitedly? Or does it decrease unlimitedly?
Not unlimitedly, but limitedly.
You love somebody's beauty when they're young and their body is somewhat fresh. But then after some years, you see, it's like a grape turning into a raisin. Like a fresh flower just starting to wilt. Somebody gives you a beautiful garland and you're thinking, oh, how nice, it smells so good. But then a couple hours later, you just want to give it to somebody else. It comes all brown and it's hanging all over the place and it's all these different slippery substances start coming out of it. It smells like it's spoiling.
It's the way our bodies are.
No different. So you love someone, but their beauty, it decays. And ultimately, they're dead. And you just put them in fire, put them in the ground, feed them to the birds, whatever you do. But in the spiritual world, according to the nature of your love, Krishna reveals his beauty eternally, unlimitedly, more and more and more. After hearing this about the beauty of Krishna, of how he increases that beauty and increases his sweetness for the pleasure of the devotees called the gopis, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this is certainly the limit of perfection. Please be merciful to me. If there is something more to be spoken, please speak it. to the Ramananda Rai in this place of Kavur, he replied, "No one in the world has ever asked to hear of anything higher than what I have already spoken. Until this day, then he went on. Among the gopis, Sri Radharani's love for Krishna is the topmost. Just as Srimati Radharani is most dear to Krishna, in the same way Sri Radha Kund is also most dear to Krishna. Because Sri Radha Kund is the nectar of the ambrosial love of Srimati Radharani in liquid form. Ramananda Rai explained how when Srimati Radharani was participating in the Ras Lila with Lord Krishna, Krishna was in between every two gopis. But in the middle, Krishna only was with Radharani. However, Srimati Radharani could understand the heart of Krishna, that Krishna is not happy here. Because with so many other kinds of gopis, he cannot freely express his love for me. Therefore, only for the pleasure of Krishna, Srimati Radharani left the Ras dance. When Krishna saw, although there were tens and thousands of gopis who were super goddesses of fortune all around Krishna, he could find no happiness. He left all the other gopis of Vrindavan to go alone searching in the forest for Srimati Radharani. One of the gopis said to another, "That who is this particular gopi who worships Krishna with such topmost love and devotion that Krishna left all of us just to search for find her?" Krishna was going to the trees, to the creepers, asking, "Have you seen my beloved Srimati Radharani? Have you seen her?" He was looking everywhere. He was crying. His heart was filled with unhappiness. Finally, he just sat on the banks of the Jamuna and lamented. This is the power of Srimati Radharani's love. Because Sri Radharani's complete surrender to the satisfaction of Krishna has conquered Krishna's heart so much that Krishna cannot find any happiness without that love. Lord Chaitanya, upon hearing the glories of Srimati Radharani's love, he said to Ramananda Rai, "That for which I came to your residence, I have just now received it. Today you have taught me the ultimate perfection of life and how to achieve it. Now please tell me, what are the qualities of Radharani and Krishna?" Sri Ramananda Rai replied, "I do not know anything that I'm saying. I don't know anything about these subjects. By your miraculous, merciful power, you are somehow or other speaking all of these words through me. I am like a parrot, just repeating what you are making me say." Lord Chaitanya replied, "Do not speak like this. I am a Mayavadi sannyasi. Therefore, being a Mayavadi, I am a non-devotee. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, due to my association with him, somehow or other I have gotten a taste for hearing about Krishna.
And I asked Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, please tell me, what is the ultimate perfection of life? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, I cannot tell you. Only Ramananda Rai could tell you. Go to the banks of the Godavari at Vidyanagar and hear from him. Therefore, on the basis of his mercy upon you, I, who am floating in an ocean of Mayavad philosophy, have come to you to hear these most glorious, relishable subjects of Krishna Katha. Ramananda Rai, he said to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am just a puppet. And you are holding all the strings. And whatever way you make me dance, I am dancing. Special effects. In fact, my tongue is like a stringed instrument. And you are the expert musician. Whatever your mind wants to express is coming through my words. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied that because you are a grihasta and I am a sannyasi, you are trying to maintain proper etiquette by saying all of these things. But in fact, it is not true. I have come here to receive your mercy. Then Ramananda Rai began to explain what is Krishna Tattva. Krishna is the source of all incarnations. Krishna is Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Like in an ocean, there are innumerable waves. So similarly, there are innumerable incarnations, but they are all emanating from the fountainhead, the source of all incarnations, Krishna. Krishna is the cause of all causes, sarva karana karanam. Everything is emanating from him. Aham sarvasya prabhavam matra sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samandataha. Krishna says in Gita, I am the source of all spiritual and material world. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfect engage in my devotional service and worship me with all of their hearts. Krishna is the Supreme Personality amongst all the divine forms of Narayana in Vaikuntha. Goloka Vrindavan stands as the ultimate abode. Krishna's body is Satchit Ananda. It is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. Ramananda Rai quotes Lord Brahma, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. And Krishna's name indicates that he is all attractive. What is the attractive qualities of Krishna? What does it mean to be all attractive, beyond anyone's comprehension? Sometimes when we're preaching, we say the name Krishna means all attractive. But do we have even a slight drop from the ocean of the comprehension of what that means? That means, as Krishna explains in Gita, all beautiful and splendorous things in this world are just a little tiny spark. My opulence. The things of this world, a taste, a sight, a sound, a smell, or a touch, they drive us totally mad. We become obsessed, possessed by the objects of the senses. But they are just a perverted reflection of a tiny little fragment of a spark of Krishna's splendor. What to speak if we actually can smell, see, taste, touch, or hear Krishna. Hare Krishna. It's an inundation. I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When the name of Krishna dances on my tongue, I desire many, many tongues enter my ears. Millions of ears I want. And when that name enters into the courtyard of my heart, I become utterly conquered. That is Krishna's all-attractive quality. In fact, even Krishna is attracted by Krishna. Every devotee on every level is Ashraya, the worshiper. But Krishna is Vishaya. He is the supreme object of everyone's worship. Every religion, they are in either an ignorance or knowledge or whatever level, worshipping only Krishna. That's why Krishna consciousness is not a sectarian process. We understand that bhakti to Lord Krishna includes every other religious, bona fide religious system in all the world. In all of creation. In all of existence. Ramananda Rai described how Krishna is so attractive that Narayana is attracted to Krishna. He gives evidence. Mahavishnu stole the sons of a Brahmin. This Brahmin, every time he had a son, it would die. And ultimately Arjuna, because the Brahmin was going to Ugrasena and said, "You're the king, you're responsible." It's very difficult being a leader because everyone holds you responsible for everything. You are responsible. So Ugrasena thinks he was doing all kinds of yajnas, but every time the son would die. So finally Arjuna said, "I will stand with my Gandiva bow, and if death personified comes near this son, I will kill him. If I don't protect your son, I will enter fire." So when his wife was having her baby in the maternity ward of her house, he was standing with Gandiva bow. And the Brahmin came out and said, "Arjuna, you're useless and your Gandiva bow is useless because my son's dead." Arjuna had to enter fire. So Krishna said, "Let's go look for the sun." So they went everywhere to all different planets. The sun was, finally they went all the way to Mahavishnu. That's not any Mahavishnu. That's Karano Dakshayi Vishnu. He's the one that glances and creates all existence. He's the one that exhales and makes all universes come out of his pores and inhales and destroys the entire cosmic manifestation. And when Krishna and Arjuna came, he said to Krishna, "I have the sons." He said, I brought them here because I wanted to have your darshan. Because your beauty is so intoxicating and sweet that I am so much attracted. I wanted to see you, Krishna. You are my Lord." Arjuna was very much surprised and happy to see Mahavishnu worshipping Krishna in his beloved, blessed darshan. Ramananda Rai continued how Krishna is so sweet that his all-attractive beauty, when he was dancing on the hoods of Kaliya, the Nagapatnis were praying that, "Krishna, your lotus feet are so worshipable that Brahma, Shiva, all the demigods, all the rishis, they are aspiring for a slight glimpse of your feet, a grain of dust from your feet. But those same feet all day long have been dancing on the hoods of our husband, Kaliya. What is his good fortune?" And Krishna, he attracts his own mind. When he was living in Dwarka, he saw his own reflection on a jeweled pillar. when he saw the beauty of his own form, he was so much attracted, he wanted to embrace him. He was thinking, this most beautiful form, it is this form that is constantly intoxicating and attracting the mind of Srimati Radharani. It was at that point that Krishna was thinking, what is the bliss of Srimati Radharani's ecstasy when she sees this form? I cannot understand it. I want to taste that ecstasy. Then Ramananda Rai began to explain the tattva of Srimati Radharani. Should I continue? I have to warn you, if I continue, we will get to Mangalagiri very late. You don't mind? Now you don't mind.
Very well. All right.
Krishna has unlimited potencies. Of these, there are three potencies, or three divisions, in which these unlimited potencies are categorized. One is the internal or spiritual potency of the Lord. The next is the external or material potency of the Lord. And the next is the marginal potency. The spiritual potency is the spiritual world. The material potency is the place that is, this material world, which is covered by the three modes of material nature, and predominated by ignorance. And the marginal energy of the Lord is the Jivatma, who is spiritual by nature, but because of its infinitesimal constitutional nature, the Jivatma always has to be subordinate to either the superior or inferior energy. According to its own free will, it comes under the control either of the ecstatic potency of Krishna in the spiritual world, or the misery-creating potency of Krishna in this material world. Krishna is in this spiritual world. Everything is Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge, and full of bliss. There are three energies representing each of these. The Lord's Sandini potency is that potency that creates the eternality of everything within the spiritual world. The Samvit potency is that which gives all cognizance and all knowledge to everything that exists within the spiritual world. And the Hladini Shakti is the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of God. It is this Hladini Shakti that gives all pleasure and bliss to Krishna and to every Jivatma. Ramananda Rai explained that the essence of the Hladini Shakti is love of Krishna, or Krishna Prema. And the essence of Krishna Prema is Mahabhava, which is contained only in Srimati Radharani. She is the representative of Mahabhava, the ultimate spiritual pleasure of the Lord. Ramananda Rai explained that the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani is the essence of all spiritual. Even Krishna cannot reach the limits of Srimati Radharani's quality. Ramananda Rai said, what to speak of me or anyone else? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, upon hearing this, very happily said, please tell me more. Ramananda Rai became very shy. He said, to tell you more than this, There is nothing more than this. But still, since you are asking, I will say one thing with your permission, but you may not like it. And he began to explain Prema Vivarta Vilas, or Prema Vilas Vivarta. And he began to sing a beautiful song that he himself composed, explaining how in Goloka Vrindavan, the gopis and Sri Radharani's love for Krishna is being explained. How when they're meeting, their love is increasing and becoming more and more and more ecstatic and intimate. This is an eternal progression. But then how, in separation, in seeing Krishna in that mood of separation, how it increases even beyond that. Sometimes that separation is when Krishna is away from us. And sometimes that separation is when Krishna is right standing before us, but somehow or other we're feeling separate from Krishna. If you remember when we went to Vrindavan, the last parikrama, we visited Prem Sarovar. Prem Sarovar, one day Srimati Radharani and Krishna were sitting together and a bumblebee came thinking Srimati Radharani's lotus feet was a lotus flower, started circumambulating her lotus feet. So she was little disturbed by this. So Krishna said to Madhu Mangal, please chase this bumblebee away. So Madhu Mangal chased Bumblebee away. And he came back and said, Madhu is gone and he will never come back. Because Madhu means honey. And bees make honey. So Madhu is another name for a bee. But Madhu is also a name of Krishna. He is Madhusudan. He killed the demon Madhu. And he's also sweeter than any honey. So when he said, Madhu is gone and he will never return, talking about bee, Srimati Radharani was thinking he's talking about Krishna. She's sitting next to Krishna, holding Krishna. But she's thinking, Krishna's gone, he will not return. She started crying and crying and crying, fell to the ground. And Krishna, upon seeing the nature of her love, he started crying and crying and crying, and he fell to the ground. And both of their tears, which were both coming like torrents from their lotus-like eyes, they merged together to fill this pond called Prem Sarovar. And when we go there to take bath, we are actually bathing in the ecstasy of the love of Sri Radha for Krishna and Krishna for Sri Radha. Ramananda Rai explains another example of Prema Vivarta Vilas, how when Krishna was away from Srimati Radharani, she saw a tamal tree. Tamal tree is very dark in color. Just by seeing the complexion of the tamal tree, she was thinking, here is my Krishna. She started embracing the tree, weeping and crying in ecstasy. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied to hear this. But he put his hand over Ramananda Rai's mouth, so he would not speak any more on this particular subject. Very high subject. When we are speaking these things, we are just repeating what is said in the scriptures. Because we are hoping that someday maybe we'll appreciate. Not to speak of achieve it. Maybe we'll someday appreciate it. Maybe someday we'll be able to stay awake when we're hearing about it. What is our condition? Maybe someday we'll be able to at least keep our mind fixed on the sound instead of thinking, I'm tired, I'm hot, I'm hungry, who's just sitting next to me, who's over there, what's over there, why is it like this? Everyone looks at their watches. When will we gain a taste for hearing the glories of Lord? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Srila Ramananda Rai that, you have explained to me the ultimate
goal of life. Please tell me how to achieve it.
Srila Ramananda Rai explained that to attain this type of love of Krishna, the only way is to take shelter of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. To experience this ras that we are discussing, one must take shelter and follow in the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan, according to the proper process in the revealed scriptures. Now, what does that mean to us? Srila Prabhupada explains it very elaborately. Because Srila Prabhupada, as an acharya, is explaining the highest principles in such a way that even from the lowest stage, we can gradually proceed to attain it. Prabhupada explains, if you're in KG and someone brings you to the level of PhD, you'll be completely bewildered. There's a process to come to the stage where you can take your PhD exam. In our Gaudiya Vaishnava line, all of our great acharyas, at least many of our great acharyas, they are gopis who have descended from the spiritual world. We have Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Raghunath Bhat Goswami. They are the Manjaris of the spiritual world. They have established through their literatures the process of Krishna consciousness. It's there in Upadeshamrita, Bhakti Rasamrita Siddhi, Hari Bhakti Vilas, Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Srila Prabhupada. These great personalities have given us the method, and by simply taking shelter of their instructions and serving their divine mission and trying to perform our devotional service according to their mature realizations of how we should continue on, we are taking shelter of the residents of Vrindavan. By this process of the congregational chanting of the holy name, Srila Prabhupada explains, this is none different than the Ras Lila. That Hari Nam Sankirtan is the Ras Lila of Goloka Vrindavan descended to this world. And by performing this activity, gradually we purify our consciousness and enter into that realm. So how precious it is. Harinam Sankirtan is going on and we're thinking so many things. But actually, it is the entrance into the highest realm of spiritual love. And by continually purifying our heart by this process, gradually we realize. And then, what a wonderful, wonderful benediction we will understand while chanting the holy names. Ramananda Rai explained, the only desire of the gopis is to have Krishna and Srimati Radharani enjoy together. The gopis never even want to be with Krishna themselves. They only want to see Srimati Radharani enjoy with Krishna. This is their selfless love. He compared the Radharani to be a creeper and Krishna to be the tree in which that creeper is wrapped around. And the gopis are the twigs and leaves and flowers. And if the creeper is satisfied, if the creeper is nourished, automatically the leaves and flowers are very happy. And then he explained, most important principle, how of the gopis of Vrindavan, they never, ever, ever consider personal sense gratification on any level for themselves. They are completely selfless servants. If Krishna has headache, they are willing to go to hell for the rest of eternity if it relieves Krishna for 1 second of his headache. That is gopi. When you have that sacrifice, then you can understand what is the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna. If we try to imitate, pretend, or jump like monkeys to these higher subjects too frequently, without this sacrifice, without this pure heart of spontaneous surrender, then it's just so much mental entertainment, but it cannot reach our soul. Upon hearing the glories of the gopis' love, upon hearing the pure process of devotional service from Sri Ramananda Rai, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became so happy in this very place. He embraced Srila Ramananda Rai. As they were embracing, both Lord Chaitanya and Srila Ramananda Rai were crying and crying and crying upon each other. Ramananda Rai prayed to Lord Chaitanya, please stay here for 10 more days. Lord Chaitanya said, to say nothing of 10 days, as long as I live, I cannot give up your company. Please, leave your government service and come to Jagannath Puri. Very soon I will end my South Indian tour, and I wish to live my rest of my life in Jagannath Puri, hearing Krishna Katha from you. Sri Ramananda Rai. In this way they spoke throughout the night. And when the sun began to rise, Ramananda Rai had to leave to perform his services. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also performed his particular duties. The next night, in the evening, Lord Chaitanya was waiting for Ramananda Rai to come here. When he came, Lord Chaitanya asked him more questions. On one occasion, the Lord inquired, of all types of education, which is the most important? Ramananda Rai replied, there is no education that is more important than the transcendental devotional service to Lord Krishna. So we have professors here, very distinguished professors. Rishabhanu Prabhu was facilitated by some of the greatest scholars in all of India. Hundreds of people came to honor him for his scholastic achievements and his personal qualities as an academic scholar and a person. But here is Vrishabhanu Prabhu, although he's a PhD in chemical engineering. In chemistry. He's a PhD in chemistry. He was the head of the Department of Chemistry for Bombay University, the largest university in all of Maharashtra, one of the largest in all of India. And the chemists from these universities are being exported to high, high positions in all parts of the world. And yet, he was so eager to retire so he can come to Kavur to hear this... the topics of Harikatha. So this is proof that the king of education is Krishna consciousness. Raja vidya raja guyam pavitram itamuttamam pratyakshavagamam dharamam shushukam karatamam vyayam. Krishna said, this knowledge is the king of education. It is the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, because it gives direct perception of the self through realization. It is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and joyfully performed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then asked Ramananda Rai, out of all glorious activities, which is the most glorious? Ramananda Rai replied, that person who is reputed to be a devotee of Lord Krishna enjoys the utmost fame and glory. Politicians, movie actors, movie actresses, musicians, cricket players, they come and they go. They're famous for a certain amount of time, But who is more famous than Jesus Christ? The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Moses. Who is more famous than Krishna, Rama, Nrsingadev? Nrsingadev appeared millions and millions of years ago, and still we're chanting, Namaste Narasingaya. You think after millions of years, these cricket players, anybody will even hear? Finished. After a few generations, these politicians, one earthquake and the whole history practically is gone. Actually, a person who loves God is most famous. We're still talking about Prahlad Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj. Besides those pure devotees who have surrendered their lives, do we know of anybody that lived millions of years ago? Hiranyakashipu. But we only know about him because of his being the father of Prahlad. And ultimately, he became a devotee. So actual, real, everlasting fame and glory can be. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, of the many capitalists who possess great riches, who is the topmost? Rockefeller? Gates? Hinduja? Hughes, Howard Hughes. Ramananda Rai didn't even know about these people. He who is richest in love for Radha and Krishna is the greatest capitalist. Because capital, a good capitalist, invests in such a way that he's always gaining, it's never losing. All these capitalists in this world, they may gain some money, but along with their money comes more and more anxieties, and fears, and worries, ulcers. Plus, as their money's growing, they're also aging. And ultimately, they grow old, and they can't enjoy anything anymore, and then they die, and everything's taken away from them. We've seen it. We've heard it. We know it. It's happening to you and to me. But what is the capital of love of Radha and Krishna? It is unlimitedly increasing and expanding. If you can get this capital in this life, at the time of death, you go back home, back to Godhead, where there's an unlimited treasure to enjoy eternally. So we don't mind capitalism. But capitalism should be based on knowledge of what is real capital, bhakti. We don't mind communism if we understand that what is communism? That everything should be not for the state, but for God, who is the Lord and Master of all states. We don't mind socialism as long as we're all socializing to take prasad and to chant the holy names. Prabhupada has come to spiritualize all these isms. Of all kinds of distress, what is the most painful? Sri Ramananda Rai replied, apart from separation from the devotees of Krishna, I know no unbearable happiness. Association of devotees of Krishna is the source of all happiness. Because in that association, we're always reminded of Krishna, the source of all happiness. But to be separated from the devotees, Ramananda Rai says, is the only pain I know. To the degree we appreciate the association of devotees, to that same degree we will please Krishna. And we will get Krishna.
And if we are not appreciating the association of devotees, we must understand, due to some offense we must have committed, Krishna has withdrawn his mercy. I cannot even appreciate the association of those who are helping me to become Krishna conscious. So we should be not fearful of any other pain than offending devotees and losing their association. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then inquired, out of all liberated persons, who should be accepted as the greatest? Ramananda Rai replied, he who has love for Krishna has attained the topmost liberation. Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana Siddhulabha prasantatma kotushvati mahamune. Out of millions of liberated persons and millions of those who have attained mystic perfections, he who is a devotee of Lord Narayan is very, very rare. Indeed, he is the most perfect and the only person who has achieved real peace. Among many songs, which song is to be considered the actual religion of the living entities? Ramananda Rai replied, that song describing the love affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna is superior to all other songs. Srila Prabhupada explains that this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is a song glorifying Radha and Krishna. Within this Maha Mantra are all the qualities, all the beauties, all the opulences, and all the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, there is no sweeter, more relishable, and glorious song than the chanting of the Maha Mantra.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Ram! Hare Ram! Ram Ram! Hare Hare!
Out of all auspicious and beneficial activities, which is best for the living entity? Ramananda Rai replied, the only auspicious activity is association with the devotees of Krishna. According to this great Mahabhagavat, the only auspicious activity is to be in the association of the Lord's devotees. What should all living entities constantly remember? Ramananda Rai replied, the chief object of remembrance is always the holy name of the Lord, his qualities, and his pastimes. Out of many types of meditation, which is required for all living entities? Ramananda Rai replied, the chief duty of every living entity is to meditate upon the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, where should the living entity live, abandoning all other holy places? Ramananda Rai replied, the holy place known as Vrindavan or Vrijabhumi, where the Lord performed his rasa dance. Srila Prabhupada explains again and again, as does the great acharyas of the Gaudiya Sampradaya, that wherever that sweet mood of devotional service to Krishna is in the association of devotees, and wherever there is attachment to the chanting of the holy names in a spirit of humility and devotion, that place is none different than Vrindavan. Out of all topics people listen to, which is best for all living entities? Ramananda Rai replied, hearing about the loving affairs between Radha and Krishna is most pleasing to the ear. Among all worshipable objects, which is the chief? Ramananda Rai replied, everyone please be attentive. The chief worshipable object is the holy name of Radha and Krishna, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra.
In
In this way, Lord Chaitanya Ramananda Rai passed the full night. It's only 6:45. Relishing the mellow of Krishna Katha, topics about Krishna. While they were chanting, dancing, and crying, the night ended. The next morning they departed, and the next evening they came together again. Ramananda Rai said to Lord Chaitanya, please be merciful upon me and just remove my doubt. Ramananda Rai then told Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at first I saw you appear like a sannyasi, but now I am seeing you are Shamsundar, the cowherd boy. I now see you appearing like a golden doll, and your entire body appears covered by golden luster. Ramananda Rai was seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu transforming into Shamsundar, whose beautiful form is blackish like a tamal tree. And then he was seeing his body covered by the resplendent golden luster of Srimati Radharani's form. I see that you are holding a flute to your mouth, and your lotus eyes are moving very restlessly due to various ecstasies. I actually see you in this way, and this is very wonderful. My Lord, please tell me without duplicity, what is causing this? Lord Chaitanya replied, that you have very deep love for Krishna. And one who has such ecstatic love for Krishna, he naturally sees Krishna in everything, everywhere, and in everyone. A devotee in the advanced spiritual platform sees Krishna everywhere because he's constantly remembering Krishna. You are a Mahabhagavat, so therefore naturally you are seeing Krishna everywhere. Ramananda Rai replied, my dear Lord, please give up all these serious talks. Please do not conceal your real form from me. What we are about to read is the supreme vision of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that was revealed in this spot. Please listen very carefully. Ramananda Rai spoke. My dear Lord, I can understand that you have assumed the ecstasy and bodily complexion of Srimati Radharani. By accepting this, you are tasting your own personal transcendental humor and have therefore appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. My dear Lord, you have descended in this incarnation of Lord Chaitanya for your own personal reasons. You have come to taste your own spiritual bliss, and at the same time, you are transforming the whole world by spreading the ecstasy of love of Godhead. My dear Lord, by your causeless mercy, you have appeared before me to grant me liberation. Now you are playing in a duplicitous way. What is the reason for such behavior? Lord Sri Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure, and Srimati Radharani is the personification of ecstatic love of Godhead. These two forms combined as one in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This being the case, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his real form to Sri Ramananda Rai. Upon seeing this form, Ramananda Rai almost lost consciousness in transcendental bliss. Unable to remain standing, he fell to the ground. When Ramananda Rai fell to the ground unconscious, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu touched his hand and he immediately regained consciousness. However, when he saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the dress of a sannyasi, he was struck
with wonder. Ramananda Rai is Vishakha Gopi. In the spiritual world, he's seen Radha and he has seen Krishna. And she's witnessing the most intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. What was it that he saw on this day, in this place, on the banks of the Godavari? Something he never even saw in Goloka Vrindavan. He saw Shamsundar Krishna entering into the heart of Srimati Radharani to personally taste the ecstasy of her love for himself. What is the happiness of Srimati Radharani when she sees me? What is her love for me? What is it about me that drives her so mad in intoxicated love of God? Krishna could never understand the nature of Srimati Radharani's love. Therefore, Krishna assumed the mood of love and the complexion of Srimati Radharani in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ramananda Rai got a full vision of the realization of who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and therefore he fell unconscious. Krishna entering into the heart of his own most beloved devotee to taste the pleasure of her love, although everyone calls him the reservoir of all pleasure. This most exalted, unparalleled revelation was revealed here at Kavur, Vidyanagar, on the banks of the holy river. After embracing Ramananda Rai, the Lord pacified him, informing him, "But for you, no one has ever seen this form." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "All the truths about my pastimes and mellows are within your knowledge. Therefore, I have shown this form to you. Actually, my body does not have a white complexion. It only appears to become because it has touched the body of Srimati Radharani. However, she does not touch anyone but the son of Nanda Maharaj. I have now converted my body and mind into the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani. Thus, I am tasting my own personal sweetness in that form." Then Lord Chaitanya admitted to Ramananda Rai, "Now there is no confidential activity unknown to you. Even though I try to conceal my activities, you can understand everything in detail by virtue of your advanced love for me." The Lord requested Ramananda Rai, "Keep all these talks a secret. If you expose them anywhere else, people will laugh and they will think we are madmen. But indeed, I am a madman, and you are also a madman. Therefore, both of us are on the same platform." For 10 nights, all night, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai spent happily together discussing the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, "These conversations are like a mine. And Lord Chaitanya Ramananda Rai were like miners getting various metals. There was copper, and then there was silver, and gold, and touchstone." And he explains that Santaras, Dasyaras is like copper, and Sakyaras is like silver, and Vatsalya Ras is like gold, and Madhurya Ras is like touchstone. They were digging up all these various metals and analyzing them, each one so very unlimitedly precious. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, he has revealed this great treasure to the whole world through his translation of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then the next day,
after the 10 days expired. Lord Chaitanya begged Ramananda Rai to give up his government service and come to Jagannath Puri when he completes his South Indian tour. They embraced, and with great, great difficulty, they somehow or other separated from one another. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the next morning, he took his bath here at Godavari, and just over here there's a temple of Hanumanji. Same temple is there. Lord Chaitanya went and worshipped Hanumanji. Srila Prabhupada explains in purport here that Hanuman is a very great devotee of the Lord. And in every holy place, Hanuman is there. Even in Vrindavan, there are so many temples of Hanumanji. And all Vaishnavas of all sampradayas, they all worship Hanumanji and glorify him and pray to him for bhakti. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself worshipped Sri Hanumanji. After the darshan of Hanuman, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the bank of Godavari to continue his South Indian tour. And tomorrow we will go tonight, actually. Very soon, we will go to the next place that Lord Chaitanya visited, Mangalagiri. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Vidyanagar, he went all the way down through Tirupati, Srirangam, Madurai, Setubandha, Rameshwara, Kanyakumari. Then he went up the western coast of India. Eventually, he came to Maharashtra, Nasik. In Nasik, he visited Brahmagiri, which is the source of the river Godavari. He went to see the Triambakeshwar Mandir, Panchavati, where we had our last yatra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, during his travels in the Adi Keshava Temple, he discovered the fifth chapter of the Brahma Samhita. He copied that to take with him. In Maharashtra, near the Krishnavenva River, which our devotees say is near Satara, at least Raghupati and Sachi Sutta and Leela say like this. But it is very likely, because the Krishna and Venva River are there. There he found the Krishna Karnamrita by Srila Bilva Mangala Thakur. He personally collected these two books, considered them rare treasures of ecstatic love of Krishna being revealed. He carried them with him. From the Brahmagiri in Nasik, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu followed along the banks of the Godavari all the way back here to Vidyanagar. This is where he ended his South Indian tour. Here he met Srila Ramananda Rai. Together they discussed the glories of Krishna once again. It was here on the bank of this holy river Godavari that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally entrusted the Brahma Samhita and the Krishna Karnamrita, his only copies, to Srila Ramananda Rai, knowing that he is a person who can truly understand and appreciate this literature. Then he told him, please, immediately, come to Puri. Ramananda Rai, from here, went to King Prataparudra and told him, my dear king, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants me to resign and go to Puri to live with him. Maharaj Prataparudra was so ecstatic, he says, immediately, go! Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of God, and I've been praying to get such an opportunity of mercy. You are so fortunate. Not only till you go, I will give you your full salary and a raise and everything else you want. Go and please the Lord, serve the Lord. When Ramananda Rai came here from the Godavari to the ocean side in Puri, he said to Lord Chaitanya, the king was weeping and crying in ecstasy just by hearing your name. I wish I even had one drop of his love for you. Lord Chaitanya said, there is no one more dear to me than you, Sri Ramananda.
Lord Chaitanya revealed through Ramananda Rai unprecedented devotion. There were four devotees that Lord Chaitanya revealed in a most unprecedented way their qualities. Haridas Thakur for his tolerance. He can be beaten in 22 marketplaces and happily be chanting Hare Krishna and begging forgiveness to the people trying to murder him. Sanatana Goswami for his humility. He was so humble. Although he was the greatest scholar, he was coming from the highest family, from the most powerful aristocratic background, but yet he considered himself such a contaminated, lowly, fallen soul. He wouldn't even go near the Singhadwaram gate thinking that someone may touch him and be contaminated and then go into the temple of Jagannath. Damodar Pandit, he could criticize the Lord, correct the Lord, chastise the Lord in his ecstasy of love. No one can imitate that. And then there is Ramananda. In his preparing young ladies, young little girls, to dance before Jagannath, in the mood of Vishakha Gopi, he would see and touch private places of their body, and he would only see them like wood and stone. Not even the slightest trace of material desire could possibly awaken in his heart, even in the most difficult, insurmountable sense. Tempting situation. If anyone tries to imitate Ramananda Rai, he will be finished. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, if I even see the wooden form, I become disturbed. But Ramananda Rai, because he is so completely absorbed in hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna, he is the supreme most Vaishnava. During Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's last years in Jagannath Puri and Gambira, Swarup Damodar Goswami was constantly chanting the holy names and glories of the Lord, and Sri Ramananda Rai was constant association of the Lord, narrating the glories of Lord Krishna. So today, in this very holy place, we have come together to pray for the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Ramananda Rai, to pray for the mercy of the Vaishnavas, that we can understand that our whole life is a useless waste if we do not achieve the taste for hearing and chanting the names and glories of the Lord. Shamayavi Kevalam. Whatever your occupation, whatever your responsibilities, whatever your family duties, everything is a useless waste of life if in the end they don't help you to develop a taste for hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting His holy name. Thus, we accept whatever is favorable for cultivating that consciousness, and we reject whatever is unfavorable. And what is favorable? Gopi Bharatur Padakamala Yoda Dasa 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 Anudas. When we become servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord's devotee, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Sahishmana, Manadena. When we aspire for humility like that of a blade of grass, tolerance like tree, when we're ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return, then we can develop, by the mercy of the Lord, the taste for hearing and chanting His names constantly. That is our ambition. Don't be sidetracked by any political evaluations of reality. Don't be sidetracked by offenses against Vaishnavas. Don't be sidetracked by material allurements for wealth or success in this world. whatever we do should be centered around humble service to Krishna and his devotees. It should be centered around developing a consciousness by which we can become more attached to chanting the Lord's names, serving the Lord's devotees. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So let us pray now on the banks of this holy river Godavari for the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the devotees, that we can become, in this very life, genuine, honest, sincere servants of the servants of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
On June 5, 1999, the fourth day of the Yatra, devotees arrived at Mangalgiri. At this place, His Holiness Bhavanath Maharaj enlightened the devotees by speaking on the glories of Narasimhadev.
Karana Vishmaya Hanandir Singhe Aila Aila Prabhu Daya Maya. Everywhere Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went, his influence astonished everyone. He next arrived at the temple of Pana Narasimha. The Lord is so merciful. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This Pana Narasimha, or Pana Kali Narasimha, is located in the district of Krishna, in the hills known as Mangalagiri, about 7 miles from a city known as Vijayawada. One must climb 600 steps to reach the temple. It is said that when the Lord is offered food with syrup here, He does not take more than half. Within this temple is a conch shell presented by the late king of Tanjore, and it is said that this shell was used by Lord Krishna himself. During the month of March, a great fair takes place in this temple. Narasimhe pranati stuti prema veshe kaila prabhur prabhave loka janmakara haila. In great ecstatic love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered obeisances and prayers unto Lord Narasimha. The people were astonished to see Lord Chaitanya's influence. Hare Krishna. Vicious enchanting courtyard we are sitting in, surrounded by ancient South Indian gopurams, the very essence of the tradition of this part of the world in architecture. It is all done very exactly according to the Vedic scriptures. Perhaps the only place in the world where architecture design has been preserved perfectly according to the explanations of the scriptures is in these areas of the southern parts of India. Every detail is to invoke the spirit of bhakti. The directions and placements of everything
is meant to invoke an auspicious environment by which the mind is more receptive to bhakti. Great acharyas like Sri Ramanuja, they were very much eager to establish these centers as spiritual universities where people could come to hear the glories of the Lord, to chant the names of the Lord, to learn the proper method of worship of the deity in the temple, as well as the proper method of worship for people of all classes in their everyday life. When Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling through the seven provinces of India, with such ecstatic joy, he was visiting each of these very, very sacred holy places. In the role of a devotee, he wanted to teach us how important it is to visit holy places, to associate with holy people. Because the tendency is to become complacent or to take our spirituality in an ordinary or ritualistic way. When we come to holy places, we shouldn't just continue our ordinary ritualistic way of life in a different place, but we are meant to be spiritually surcharged, to break us out of our complacency. Sometimes when we come to holy places, there will be some inconvenience, but that is also meant to bring us out of our complacency. It is a challenge. Krishna consciousness is a challenge 24 hours a day, combating against the modes of material nature, which come upon us in so many different ways. Sometimes through these six enemies within: lust, envy, pride, anger, greed, illusion. At every moment, we're being challenged by these anarthas. And either we dwell on them, succumb to them, or we have to fight against them. And the only way we can actually fight in such a way that we win is if we take shelter of Krishna in those situations. And the nine processes of devotional service given to us by our scriptures and our great acharyas teach us how to take shelter of Krishna at every moment, in any situation of life. There's also so many challenges that come due to the outside influences. Influences of so many people talking, influences of riding on a bus till very late at night, influences of disease, sickness. I personally understand by my own experience as well as by seeing others that many of you are kind of downtrodden from the traveling and quite sick from various, too much heat and different types of water and food. And this makes us weak and not very inspired. It's a challenge. We've come so long distance to come to this holy place with 550 devotees around us to re-spiritualize our consciousness. But these impediments are coming as a challenge. We have to take shelter of Krishna. We have to simultaneously keep body and soul together. but in a spirit of Krishna consciousness. Today I was talking to one devotee who's developing a wonderful, wonderful project here in Vijayawada. And he said, so far, there's been no problems. And I revealed my heart to him that maybe not so far, but the tradition of our sampradaya is you cannot do anything without problems for very long. Where in the Srimad Bhagavatam do we find any story where there isn't problems that Vaishnavas are being faced? Did Prahlad Maharaj have any problems? Did Dhruva Maharaj have problems? Ambarish Maharaj have problems? The residents of Vrindavan, demons coming every day, were there problems? The residents of Dwarka, demons were coming with airplanes and dropping all kinds of mystical bombs on them. There were so many problems. But all of these problems were glorious because they just cried out for Krishna. This is our sampradaya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended to establish the Harinam Sankirtan movement. Public chanting of the holy name. But he never chanted publicly until there was an extremely critical problem that was threatening the lives of every devotee. He would chant in the house of Shivas only with his most confidential associates throughout every night. Common people never got to hear him or see him dance. It was only when the Chand Kazi beat devotees, plundered their wealth, threatened to put them in prison, had dozens upon dozens of soldiers full-time roaming through the streets of Navadvip to punish anyone who was chanting the holy names of Krishna. Even breaking mridangas. The devotees were so much afraid. They did not know what to do. They approached Lord Chaitanya with folded hands. Perhaps we should go to another place. Then Lord Chaitanya, he said, today I will come out and lead the kirtan. Let us see if the Chand Kazi stands before me. Who will stand before him as time personified? Everyone, bring your torches and come onto the streets. It was in that difficult situation that Gauranga Mahaprabhu was so much appealed by his devotees in desperate affection that he came out and inaugurated the first performance of Harinam Sankirtan to the streets of Navadvipa. And then after that, it became a regular process. So problems come. But our mind is, we're thinking, let the problems come, but they should come the way I like them to come. Some problems, it's very easy and enlivening to overcome. Hare Krishna. This is a very sweet problem. We'll have to make a pathway for this procession. This is the problem. The problem is the Lord making a procession through our ordinary routine of life. And we should honor him and worship him as he's passing through. Situation. Our nature is we wish it would end fast as possible. But when we think back in the years of our life, that have passed.
Usually, the times of life, either good or bad,
I'll change that.
Usually the times in life that are the worst, that are the most painful, that are the most embarrassing, leave the most lasting impressions in our heart. Does any of you have that experience? If you were, when you were a young child, if you were burnt or you fell off your tree and crashed your head or something, you'll remember that vividly all your life. But if you played a nice game and you were very happy, how many do you remember 30 years later? It's usually the traumatic experiences that leave such a deep impression. Similarly, in Krishna consciousness, those experiences that create an environment where there's a big challenge of a crisis that we have to overcome, the realizations we get through that situation have such a deep, lasting impression in our hearts. That is why Advaitacharya told Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the devotees that obstacles in the path of bhakti are all the servants of Krishna. They are all sent by Krishna to help us to become deeper, stronger Vaishnavas, genuine Vaishnavas. Queen Kunti prayed for Brahma, because in them, she always turned to Krishna. During these yatras, devotees are often so happy, so blissful. It's not because of the material environment. It's because of the association and the purpose that we are struggling to achieve that brings about such a blissful environment. Against the current of the river of material energy, we are challenging her by remaining attentive to keep our mind fixed on Harikatha, to utilize our body, mind, and words to engross our consciousness in dancing for the pleasure of the Lord, loudly chanting His holy name. This particular temple that we are sitting in was established by Yudhisthira Maharaj. It was during the 12 years that he was banished to the forest.